Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. The Israelites have escaped from Egypt. Now the quickest way into the Promised Land is to go straight north, but the Edomite king of the north tells them they cannot cross his territory, so they have to go around this territory. They do not do well with this problem. Let's take a closer look at Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. What happens when we blame God for the problems in our lives? God reveals the real cause of the problem to us. Now look at this situation. Things were not going well for the Israelites. The way to the promised land has just gotten a whole lot harder. They must travel east and then north. They have to go across the barren Arabah valley. They have to climb a mountain or two. They have to bury Aaron on the way, Moses' brother, on Mount Hor, the biggest mountain there. The people were discouraged as they traveled. They were discouraged because of the way. The point? The Israelites were not doing well. They were unhappy. They were unhappy that they could not take the easy way. They were unhappy with the leader God had given them to give them direction and encouragement. They were unhappy with God. We can understand this unhappiness because in life we often end up where we don't want to be. Think Jesus Christ for a minute. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that there could be some other way. But when our Heavenly Father said there was no other way to atone for the sins of the world, Jesus accepted God's way. Not my will, he said, but thy will. Remember the prayer? Hard times come in life. Here's where things get interesting for those Israelites. They don't deal with the problem. They complain and gripe. And against who? They blamed God and God's leaders for their problems. The people spoke against their leadership. They complained against God himself. They complained against the leader that God had appointed over them. This is the same people who had cried out in their bondage in Egypt to God for help. The truth is quite different from their complaint. God had always revealed to these people that there was a promised land ahead. The point? The problems, we all have them. Sometimes we fail to recognize why those problems are there. Those people on their way along the east side of the Arabah forgot God and started blaming God and his leaders for problems that they brought on themselves. Now think Jesus for a minute. We know about Jesus and Lent. We know about the mock trial and the sentence to death on the cross. Jesus never spoke against our Heavenly Father or his leadership. Jesus Christ honored God even while on the cross, quoting God's own word to him. Jesus honored God's plan for the salvation of the world, willingly giving up his life that we might live because of his sacrifice on the cross. That was not the case of the Israelites. Complain, complain, complain. Do you think God will put up with this kind of behavior? God opened their eyes to where the root cause of the problem was. There are consequences to blaming God. Blame and stubbornness go hand in hand. The people are lethargic and griping there in the wilderness on the edge of the Arabah. But there are snakes in the rocks in the area. These snakes are described as fiery. If you get bitten by a snake and it's poisonous, you might feel a burning. We don't know what kind of snakes were there, but we recognize that this is not a healthy situation. People start dying from the venom. People stop complaining about the non-problem they were just griping about. They start recognizing that they have a real problem. Isn't that how it often is? It is only when we have a real problem that we discover that the problems we thought we had are really not problems at all. There is nothing like a problem to bring you to God. The Israelites know immediately that they have been bad-mouthing God. They recognize that the consequences for failing to follow God's will has some pretty negative results in their lives. They know Moses talks to God, so they go to Moses and they talk to talk to God for them. Isn't it interesting how quickly we ask God for help after we have been blaming him for all kinds of things in our lives? Moses, the very leader who those Israelites were trying to hang not so long ago, listens to their request and he prays for the people. Now here's the point. Sometimes we stew in our own juice for a long time before we figure out that it is we who have turned on the gas. Those Israelites knew they had problems when their new problem put everything else in perspective. Their eyes got open to reality because they went through a new problem. Think Jesus for a minute. There is Jesus appearing before Pilate. Pilate has lots of problems in his job relating to the Jewish people. Pilate has made some bad mistakes as governor of this little province. He's killed people. He's gone against Roman rule as it applied to the temple. The Jewish people were very, very angry because of Pilate's actions in their temple. He was running an occupation army that was way undermanned. He may even have been involved in siphoning off Jewish dollars to do bribery in Rome. It took a Jesus to get Pilate to think. Even Pilate's wife gets upset about this righteous man, Jesus. Pilate can't take it. He looks at the problem of condemning Jesus and does everything he can to release Jesus. Finally, Pilate takes a portable sink out in front of the crowd and washes his hands in the whole of the whole affair. Our Lord Jesus is troublesome to many in today's world. But just like those people in Numbers, we can come to God and ask for some answers. God will reveal the real cause of the problem to us, sometimes through another problem. Problems have a purpose. They focus our thinking on fault, and the fault of our problems is usually us. Jesus Christ tells us clearly that there is no fault so big that he is not the answer. That answer begins with asking Jesus to come into our heart and help us. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. We are entering the season of Lent with worship opportunities each Wednesday, beginning with Ash Wednesday, February 25th, and ending April 1. Each Wednesday, we will have a light soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. in the Zion Fellowship Hall, followed by a Lenten Vespers service in our church sanctuary at 7 p.m. Maundy-Thursday Vespers will be on April 9th at 7 p.m. Our Good Friday Tenebrae service will be on April 10 at 7 p.m. Remember Jesus and his passion during Lent. If you do not have a midweek service available at your church, please join us for supper and evening vespers. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning. As part of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, we support daily Bible reading and prayer. If you do not have a Bible and would like a complimentary paperback copy of the New King James Version Bible, call us at 945-5209 and give us your name and address or phone number.